have the floor. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jürgen. And I can understand why you skipped that session, because my boss, Mr. Weiss, is not here. thank you very much. Thank you very much, Director, Deputy Director General Yi, for the introduction and opening. Good morning to everybody. As Jürgen said, I'm replacing Mr. Weiss, who unfortunately could not come. Today is the Trade Data Day. The last one was in 2013. And I would like to use that opportunity to go a little bit back and to see what progress we have made, not only in 2 years, but also in the last, say, decade or so. And because we will focus on the two areas, non-tariff measures and services trade, so I will say a few words about the other areas and put this into the perspective with all trade data that we normally deal with. Let me start by saying that there is an increasing demand for trade data that has been mentioned by the DDG Yi, and we see this in our daily life. The increasing need for trade data has various reasons, and this became very obvious, for example, during the last days here when there was the Global Aid for Trade review. In basically all the sessions where I went to, there was data presented, or there was a need to get new information, including in a side event that we organized yesterday on non-tariff measures. I think not by coincidence with exactly the same four international organizations that are organizing the Data Day today. And it was very clear that there is a need for trade information in all areas. So, I would like to start with the increasing need for trade data, and I would definitely also like to thank the WTO for taking the lead for the Data Day and for organizing this. Hubert and his team, thank you very much for taking the lead on this. So trade has increased in recent decades and influences more areas of life. For example, the share of trade to GDP has increased from 39% in 2000 to 50% in 2013. So more areas are affected by trade. More goods and services are traded these days. Trade also becomes more complex with the increasing fragmentation of production. So we see much more value chains, regional value chains, global value chains. The production process has become much more complex, and with this also the information requirements to get a good picture of what is happening in the countries. Another major change is the services trade, which has increased a lot and which becomes ever more important. On services, this is particularly complex. I mean, we have the four modes of supply, for example, and trade data are not at all there to reflect this. We have e-commerce, we have health services that are consumed abroad, and so on. I was recently in a conference in Australia where I learned that they think about outsourcing judges and court decisions. So for smaller cases, they don't want to do this anymore in Australia, but they think that can be done in countries where labor costs are lower. So they want to not only, I mean, we know this, that there are law firms in the US, for example, and they have other subsidiaries in India or so, where they work together, but in Australia they want to outsource complete courts, which I found quite remarkable. So there is more also to be seen in the area of trade and services. On trade policy, we see that the complexity has increased. So the difference between narrowly defined trade policies such as tariffs and quotas, and on the other hand, domestic measures is increasingly blurred. So there are more domestic measures that affect international trade. And for sure, we will touch up on this when we discuss the non-tariff measure data. So there is an increasing demand for trade and trade policy data. And I would like to very briefly go through the progress and that has been made during the last, say, 10 years, and also the challenges that still exist. And I will talk about trade data and trade policy data. On trade data, I will very briefly touch upon merchandise trade, services trade, and a relatively new development that is trade in value added. In trade policy measures, I will cover tariffs, non-tariff measures, and services restrictiveness. I will very briefly say something about dissemination tools, but I'll be very brief about this because in the afternoon there is the possibility to have a look at these dissemination tools. All this, the progress, is very much due to a very strong cooperation among the agencies. The progress would not have been possible without this, so I will say a few words about this. On merchandise trade, so what were the developments in trade data and merchandise trade? Well, I guess that was an area which has been quite good for quite some time, information in trade, in merchandise trade. So there is perhaps a little bit less of progress that can be reported. There is a very broad coverage, Comtrade, which is the most comprehensive database on trade data, covers now 200 countries or areas. There may be some improvements in terms of the coverage, so more countries more frequently report, for example, to Comtrade. Also, the accuracy has probably increased. Many countries now use the, for example, the United Nations rules for electronic data interchange for administration, commerce, and transport, which is called IDE. EDI. So this increases the accuracy of the data, even though still now if you look into the exports of one country of one particular product and the imports of one country from this other country, I mean, they never really match. So there is still a lot to be done there. But I think it's fair to say that the accuracy has increased. Also, the degree of harmonization has increased there. So agencies work together to avoid that trade data are completely different from one agency to another agency in order not to confuse the users of the data. A major improvement probably is the availability of monthly data. That became clear during the crisis, which started in 2008, that there is a need for monthly data. So now monthly data in merchandise trade are available. That is something which is a development which is remarkable. On services trade data, I would say the picture remains much more challenging. So whereas in merchandise trade, I think the area has matured to a certain extent, so information availability is quite good in this area, we don't have the same situation on services trade data. So on services trade data, for example, there are no bilateral trade data for the majority of countries. So the OECD, they have bilateral trade data in services, but mainly for OECD members plus a few other countries, but it's not available for all countries. Also, being here in the WTO, of course, for WTO members and the negotiators, the four modes of supply matter a lot. But there is no systematic information available of what's the trade in the different modes of supply. So services remains a major challenge where more work needs to be done in order to get a better picture to cover the increasing importance of services trade. In the area of trade data, I would like to mention a major development, and that's a fairly recent development, and that's the trade in value-added work. Due to the increasing fragmentation of production and more production in global value chains, where a product is not produced anymore in one country and then exported perhaps, but it uses many intermediate goods and parts and components from other countries around the world to produce that good. So this is an observation, and then the question was, well, do our current data, basically the gross trade values. Does this adequately reflect this new development in the production process? And therefore, there was this new approach to look into trade in value added. Well, you may have seen a picture like this. This is this iPhone here, which is exported by China, for example, to the U.S., and it may have a value of $500 or so. And in our trade statistics, it would appear as $500 exported from China to the U.S. But of course, it uses all kinds of components. For example, the chip comes from Japan. And as we see here in the picture, where the biggest profit is, of course, Apple for the design and the development of the product. So it's not that there is $500 value added in China, but the value added that is done in China, well, according to this assessment here, is around 5% or so. So labor is the cost of labor in China is 1.8%. So there is probably a need to better understand the current developments to look into this. And there were a couple of approaches. For example, the EC funded the WIOT project, but probably the most important step was WTO-OECD cooperation, the TIVA project, which covers roughly 60 countries, which gives very high quality data into this trade in value added. For example, there it was also apparent that there is a lot of services involved in the production of these goods. So when the goods are traded, there is much more trade in services than what we initially thought to be the perhaps 10% of world trade or so. But in the TIVA project, I think they found that it is around 40% or so services trade. So that was a very good development, I think. UNCTAD tried to increase the coverage. They extended it to other countries, but they didn't have the data to do the work based on existing data, so they had to estimate a lot of this data. That was the World Investment Report, I think, 2013. So there is a lot of work going on in this area, and the United Nations Statistical Division tries to coordinate this, and they initiated this internationalization group where they try to discuss the various approaches and try to coordinate this a bit. Related to this work, which is kind of a macro approach because it uses global input-output tables, there is a new development which is trade by enterprise characteristics. So that tries to use firm-level data, and then that's kind of a micro approach, so from the bottom, from the firms aggregating to higher levels. But there are, to my knowledge, that's rather a future project than that we actually see something. So let me turn now to trade policy measures, which is the second big category after trade data. And here there is a lot of progress to report during the last 10 years or so. So in tariffs, for example, there is now a much broader coverage. For example, the World Tariff Profile covers now 148 countries, counting the EU as one country. So there is a really broad coverage. There is much better information available now for all the preferential agreements, which matter a lot because there are so many preferential agreements, and also about the utilization rate of these preferences. So there has been a lot of progress made in the area of tariffs. In the area of non-tariff measures in goods, I would also say that there is a huge progress that has been made during the last 10 years, and Mondher will guide us through the details of this progress. So one big step, I think, was the classification, where, again, all the four organizations here have been involved in coming up with a common language of non-tariff measures, a classification to better understand and have a better structure of these non-tariff measures. There have been also a lot of progress made in notifications. So, of course, WTO members, they are obliged to notify to the WTO certain measures. For example, on anti-dumping measures, there are some other sources of information. ITC collects this information. The World Bank collects this information. Also, UNCTAD collected this information until we found very recently where there was very good information around already. We see that on anti-dumping, for example, since I think 2005 or so, or 2007, we found that all anti-dumping measures are currently notified to the WTO. So notification has increased, has improved a lot in certain areas. Then there is the data collection of official data, where we go into countries and we read national legislation and we code this into a database. And, of course, there is the survey data on non-tariff measures where we get more information about also the procedural aspects linked to non-tariff measures. So how are they implemented? On services trade restrictiveness data, we will also have a dedicated session to this, so I won't go into more details there. But we also have there now two databases that have services trade restrictiveness indices, and that is a major progress during the last 10 years. The dissemination of information, as I said, I won't go into details here because there will be the opportunity in the afternoon to have a look at some of these dissemination tools. There are different platforms for different needs. So some are more tailor-made for policymakers, some are more tailor-made for the private sector, and so on. So perhaps to mention four major platforms, that's the WTO ITIP platform, where now all notifications can be seen. There is the ITC TradeMac, MacMap, and other platforms. The World Bank has, in cooperation with UNCTAD, the WITS platform, and there is UNCTAD STAT as a platform. This is not even an exhaustive list for the four organizations, so there are different dissemination tools to disseminate all the data that we are collecting. All this progress would not have been possible without a strong cooperation and collaboration among agencies. Each agency has its specialized expertise and mandate, so we focus on different issues in this trade data, and we divide the work. There are a very close cooperation between the four international organizations here in various combinations. Also, there is cooperation with other international agencies, for example, the United Nations Statistical Division, OECD, IMF, when it comes to services data, for example. So there are different partners as well. One of the initiatives I would like to mention is the Transparency in Trade Initiative. It's the four organizations, African Development Bank, International Trade Center, UNCTAD, and the World Bank. We all work very closely with the WTO, so I would say WTO is somehow a de facto member of this. That is an object, and the objective is to increase the transparency in trade, but also it has a capacity building component tries to incentivize the self-sustained data reporting. I would like to thank the Russian Federation for financial support to this Transparency in Trade initiative. Opportunities and challenges, there are many. I hinted to a few of them, and Hubert will guide us through this in the fourth session today. So I would like to stop here. Thank you.